Well, amen. Praise the Lord once again for the special music. Trust that was a help and a blessing to you. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, the month of April is our prayer and fasting awareness month. This passage of scripture is the signature event for Christ's teachings on New Testament fasting. And a powerful passage of scripture, powerful event in the life of Christ. And so if you would, go ahead and stand with me, if you're able to stand. Matthew chapter 17, we'll be reading verse 14 down to verse 21. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you, and what a blessing, Lord. It's already been just sensing your presence in this place, being here. I pray, God, that you might continue to meet with us. I pray, Father, that each one would have an open heart and mind to listen and to receive what you have for them individually and for us collectively as a church. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So we find here in verse 14 and 15, a father with an unstable, suicidal, demon-possessed son. He humbles himself before the Lord Jesus Christ and seeks help for his son. Verse 16, the Bible says, "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." He had taken his son to the disciples, and who knows how long that they attempted to heal this boy, to cure this boy, to cast out this demon, but alternately, they gave up and left. They had been given the power by the Lord Jesus Christ to do what this man had asked them to do. But after attempting to help, they gave up. After this, we find that Jesus cured the boy. And the disciples, seeing that Jesus cured the boy, verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why?" We did everything that we knew to do. We had done things that had worked in the past. Why could we not cast him out? Now, understanding what Jesus was doing with the apostles, Jesus was preparing his apostles to continue his work. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament law and establish New Testament Christianity. Jesus came to establish the New Testament church. And so we find here that he was preparing the apostles, especially during the apostolic age. It was very important that they would be prepared to carry on the work that Jesus Christ would have established. And then, of course, after the apostolic age, we find that lasted as long as the last apostle was alive, but the completion of the Word of God took place. And now we have the completion of the Bible, which is the Word of God, the revelations of God to mankind. And we are to look to this and have the understanding, the faith in this, the Scriptures here, to be able to take us through until the rapture of the church, until Christ returns for his church. So there was very important in what Jesus was doing in preparing the apostles for the work that he had called them to. They would need to learn more. They would need to learn more about three things. There are three critical things for every born-again believer living in this New Testament church age. They would need to learn more about faith. They would need to learn more about prayer. And they would need to learn more about fasting. The first thing that Jesus addresses with his apostles is that of their faith. He gets their attention in verse 17 when he says, "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you?" Now, the apostles are hearing this. I guarantee you they are kind of hunkering down and feeling about this big. And hear Jesus say, "Faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." He got their attention. He would later in verse 20 tell them, and Jesus said unto them when he addresses them, "Because of your unbelief." Why could not we do this? Well, first of all, it's because of your lack of faith. It's because of your unbelief. Faith is the beginning. It's the first place to start in battling all the battles of life. Whatever you're facing this morning, whatever your fears might be, whatever the battle that might be raging in your life, can I tell you that Christ would have you to focus on faith? He often would tell them that they had little faith. He would challenge them to grow in their faith, to have great faith, to increase their faith. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, let me just read it to you. You know the verse quite well. I hope you do anyway. But Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 6, we find here, of course, this is a faith chapter, and it gives us a definition of faith in verses 1 through 3. But in verse 6, it says this, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him," to please God. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God," here is the faith, "must believe that he is. That he is God. He is who he says he is. He's the great I am. He's the creator of all things. This faith allows us, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It begins with faith. Faith to believe in a God. Faith to believe in a God who loves humanity, who created humanity in his own image, in his own likeness. Faith to believe in a God who loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to pay a sin debt that we all owe and could not pay. Faith to believe in a God who wants to fellowship, who finds pleasure. We were created for his pleasure. Who finds pleasure in communicating with us. Faith in a God who wants us to communicate with him. See, it's this faith that allows us access to God. The God that created all things. Which we find in verse 20, and it says, "And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove." Do you really expect us to believe we can move mountains? And the answer is that is no, we can't move mountains. But God can. If he created the mountains and he placed them where he wanted to have them placed. He didn't choose to put any in Indiana, but he's the one who decided where the mountains would be placed. And if God placed the mountains on this earth, then God has the power to remove mountains, to move them. That's who he is. Do you have the faith to believe that God is who he says he is? And he has accomplished what he said he has accomplished. And he has the love for you that you need to know that he has. He has the desire to fellowship with you. He has a desire to communicate with you individually. Do we have faith to believe that that is who God is? And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's faith. Faith in who he is, faith in what he has revealed to us through his word. Faith to understand he has a purpose and a plan for our lives. Faith to know that God is very much aware of everything that takes place on planet Earth. There's not a bird that falls out of the tree without him being aware of it. He knows the number of hairs on your head. For some, that might not be a hard thing, but for others, it could be. But these are some things that God has revealed about himself. And whatever God has revealed about himself, we need to have the faith to believe it. It all starts there. Faith allows us access to the power of God, even to the place of moving mountains, or if you will, to know that he is not limited by anything. God is not limited to anything. There's nothing that God cannot do. So if that is who God is, and I have faith enough to know that he wants me to call upon the name of the Lord and get saved, that he wants me to look to him as my heavenly Father, that he wants me to communicate with him and present all of my need, all of my desires even, and to know that he is capable of answering any prayer. That means that faith then reveals that the solution is God. Do you have problems? Do you have issues? Do you have needs? Do you have struggles? And can I tell you, we all do. Everyone has issues. Some more than others. But whatever our issues, whatever our struggles, whatever our battles, the solution is God. If you truly have faith to believe that God is who he says he is, and he is a rewarder of all who would diligently seek him, then listen to me, then seek after God, because in that you'll find the solution to whatever you're facing. Without finding the solution, you know what happens? You give up. What happened to the disciples? They thought they knew what they were doing, and they thought that they could cure this boy, and they continued to do what they had been doing all along with every other situation, and they got to this place where it wasn't working, and they come to the place where they, instead of looking to God for the solution, they just said, we're done. Can't do it. Just going to have to live with it. You're going to have to take your boy back home with you. No help for him here. We did what we did, all we could do. There's no solution. Just take the boy home. Faithless. God didn't put him out there for them to give up. Amen? God does not have you alive to give up. God is very much aware of everything that we are battling today. God is very much aware of every situation, all of our issues of life. And can I tell you, he did not allow them into our lives so that we would quit and give up, claim it's impossible. I can't move mountains. Faith. He addressed faith, because that's where it all begins. You don't have faith, you can't move on. You're going to give up. You'll quit. He addresses their faith, and then he addresses what comes next for the believer once you have faith to trust in Jesus Christ. Once you've received the gift of everlasting life, once you have believed in God and the Son, the second thing was prayer. Faith opens the door to prayer. Prayer is communication with God. In verse 16, the man says, I brought him to thy disciples. Now, why would you take him to the disciples? Because he had heard of what the disciples had been doing. They had been healing others that had the very same symptoms as his son. They had been performing things that no one else would have been able to perform.
They were accomplishing things in the day that no medicine could accomplish. And I heard of what they had been doing, and I knew that this was a solution because they had to be gaining their power from something more than man, something more than medicine. They had to been somehow gaining their power from God. Matter of fact, over in the book of Luke in chapter 9, let me read to you. Luke in chapter 9, verse 1, it says this. Then Jesus, he called his 12 apostles together and gave them power. Jesus gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. That's why they were able to do it. Because they had faith to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and he had something for them to do, and they took the authority that he gave them and the power that he gave them, and they went out and were doing what he had sent them out to do. In chapters 10, Luke in chapter 10 and verse 17, and the 70, these were not only the apostles, but also even the disciples, when they went out door to door to win the lost. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. What is that prayer? I'm not doing it in my name, I'm doing it in his name. I'm not doing it through the church. I'm not doing it through the pastor. I'm not doing it through a man. I'm not doing it through religion. I'm doing it through God. In thy name. Prayer is a most powerful tool that God designed and has given to all who have faith to believe. Get a hold of him. The book of Psalms in chapter 66. I love this chapter and these verses. In Psalms in chapter 66, verse 16 to 20, the psalmist writes this. Come. Come and hear, all ye that fear or reverence God. That takes faith to fear and reverence God, to know who God is. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Through prayer, God hears us. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Prayer is more than just a feel-good thing to do. Sometimes people will call for a day of prayer. They don't really have faith to get in hold of a God who can move mountains. They just want you to feel good. Because they don't live out, don't have a desire for a relationship with God. They just want to treat him as a genie. Have him come out to do whatever they want him to do and then go back into the bottle. That's not God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So now what do you have? He addressed the prayer. Now you have faith and prayer. What a powerful duo. Faith is what opens the door to prayer. And if you have the faith, then you have prayer. And with prayer, faith and prayer, nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's powerful stuff. So everything was working. Who knows how many countless of individuals were healed by faith in them being sent by God to do what they were doing, and prayer, they were doing it in His name. Enough to know that the whole area had heard about it, and this man with his son said, I've heard about it. This is what I need. And so he, after hearing what had been done by the apostles, he takes his son to them. Everything was working until it wasn't. Everything was working. They were casting out demons. They were healing. They seen people start walking. I mean, praise God. What an exciting thing to know that God was answering their prayer. They had faith enough to know that they could do what God sent them out to do. And they were praying and they were seeing results. And praise God. What power that's in faith. And the tool of prayer. But then there was this boy. There was this kind. Didn't really look any different than the others that they had healed. A lot of those demoniacs were suicidal, lunatics, unstable. We've healed many of them. How long they tried? Maybe as Peter said, John, could you come over here? I've been trying, I've been working on this. Could you bring James with it? Could you? Let's all of us get around here. Let's all try. But they gave up. Didn't have enough confidence in faith. Because faith would have led them back to God, and God would have revealed to them a third lesson. Which he would. In verse 21. Howbeit, this kind, there is powerful demons out in the world today. Some more powerful than others. You're going to face great battles, spiritual battles, spiritual warfare. Some are going to be greater than others. This kind goeth not out but by prayer, faith, which opens the door to prayer. And now we find prayer opening the door to fasting. It would require an addition to prayer. Did you know that there was an addition to prayer? They didn't. Even though Christ had fasted in their presence, he had fasted on the mountain. There had been many times that Jesus had fasted, went to the mountain to pray alone, fasting to God as an example. Webster's definition of a fast is abstaining from food. When you study the Bible concerning what the Bible defines as fasting, this would be the definition, a biblical definition, abstinence from food or pleasure for a period of time for spiritual reasons. I'm battling something that my faith is just not strong enough. And prayer is not enough for this kind. Fasting acknowledges that the answer to prayer is more important than whatever it is that I am fasting. It's a sacrifice. The greater the sacrifice, the more power in the fast. It's a final step towards the peace of answered prayer. It doesn't mean that I'm going to get a yes answer every time I fast. It means that you're going to get an answer. And we can find peace in knowing it's the answer that God has for us. But it's an extension. A ratchet is a great tool. This is a half-inch ratchet with a half-inch socket. For a mechanic, you can't do your work unless you have one of these. You can try all you want to do, all you want to try with your fingers to get a bolt off of an engine. If it's put on there right, there is no way your fingers are going to be able to remove that nut off of that bolt. But you have tools. Tools helps you to do something that you cannot do on your own. If you have the right tools, you can accomplish some great things. You can do things that you would not otherwise be able to do. Because with the ratchet and the right socket to fit that, I had the leverage. And I have something that's not going to give way like my skin would. And that ratchet is able to take that bolt off or to tighten it down to where it's not going to come off on its own. There's a lot of jobs that can be done, mechanical jobs that can be done with just one of these. But every now and then, you get that bolt or that nut that's down inside that engine housing to where no matter how hard I try, I can't reach it. I have to, in order to do the job, I've got to get down. I've got to take that bolt off. And I might try and I do everything I can get. I cannot reach it. So, sorry, customer, I can't fix your car. Take it home with you. Get it out of here. It's driving me nuts. I've been trying. I've been doing everything that I know to do. My ratchet, it just will not reach down in there. I can't do it. Or you could turn to something that they call an extension to my ratchet. That in itself, not going to do anything. It wasn't made to do anything on its own. It was made to connect to the ratchet and then have socket now I can get down to that bolt that I could not reach before. But now, Pay me. I'm going to get it done. That's fasting. This is prayer. I have it because I have faith to know that this will work. Sometimes I need more than just this, because there's a this kind of a bolt. And I'm so glad that God said, I'll give you an extension. They would be equipped for the next this kind. During the apostolic age, when Jesus had ascended into heaven, can I tell you, they continued to face this kind. If they had not learned what was available to them, they would have quit. God does not ever want you to quit. The solution is always in what He has provided for us. Take advantage of what God has given to us. It will work. Faith, prayer, and occasionally fasting. If I could have every head bowed. Are you there? Are you ready to give up? You ready to quit? There's a solution. Starts with greater faith that understands the power of not only prayer, but every now and then. Prayer. And fasting. Father, we bow before you this morning, and we do love you and thank you for the truth of this event. How you equip your apostles and then have recorded it so that we could be equipped likewise for whatever we face in our own lives, even when we're facing this kind. Help us to have the faith and use the prayer and fasting as you would have us to. For this we ask in Jesus' name.